April, who was just up here, has got a blood sugar thing going on. So I'm going to lead us in prayer over April, okay? If you guys will bow your heads with me. Jesus, I thank you for April, for the amazing heart that you have given her. But God, right now something is going wrong with her blood sugar. I know there's some folks out there helping her, and I know they've got some different medicine and thing to give her, God, but I just pray that you would be with her body and with her blood chemistry, God, and that you would take care of her. Jesus, I thank you that we can come to you, and our whole family is coming together right now asking you to watch over her health. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we had a different worship time, right? Where there was this opportunity to experience God in a new way, but it wasn't what we normally do, right? And my sermon today for you, I feel like, is also not as crafted as a normal sermon. It's a really basic idea we're going to talk about. It's one that I have a hard time trusting at the level that I should. And I think for all of us in the room, I don't think it's an overstatement to say the biggest problems in your life, the biggest failures in your life, are because you don't trust this as deeply as you could. So this is a concept that probably every coming in the room has heard this before. Most of us would stand up and be like, yep, I believe it. And super simple, right? Or if we flip two slides ahead to that white slide with this quote. It says, God, in total freedom, has decided to love us, right? God loves us, if we just say it even simpler, right? Henry Nouwen's not giving us a new thought here, that God loves you. But a lot of us live our lives, and really deep down inside, there's a lot of doubt about, do we really have the love that we need? And we chase or manipulate or try to coerce like the safety or whatever we need to fill ourselves up, right? And we wonder, like, does anybody really love us? We try to please the people around us or intimidate the people around us. There's a whole bunch of different expressions, right, of it. We try to greedily soak stuff up. And really, like, the deep hunger inside of us is to know that we're fully loved. And we can come to church, even maybe from a young age, and you hear that God loves you. But in the day-to-day life, you struggle with anxiety and stress and fear or hatred or any other number of right inside conditions, right? Because what this says is not what we're taught about love typically. What this says is that God gives us love, and there's no, like, you got to give something back. You got to earn it. You got to be worthy of it. Is that God didn't have to, right? And a lot of us are running around thinking we have to earn the love of the people around us. We had to do something to get it. So just like we had worship service a little different, my sermon's going to be a little different, but here's the opportunity for you in it, is I'm going to tell you a couple stories maybe of some things I've experienced. They're pretty small. My guess is these moments when you feel like, wow, I am really loved, my guess is if you tell all the details, it's a pretty, like, I don't, you know, it's not necessarily like someone jumped out of a helicopter or something, you know, like it's not necessarily an action movie, you know? Sometimes it's really small details. So I'm going to tell you some stories that I don't think are going to knock your socks off, right? And yet, what I'm trying to get myself and you to realize is that we can hold on to this love deeper and deeper. And we can trust Jesus on the good days and the bad days. We can stop trying so hard to earn something and instead know what we already have received, right? So we're going to read a passage. And when we get to the passage, it's saying so much, but one thing that's easy to overlook is that it's saying that God loves us, okay? First, let me tell you a story about a milkshake, though. So we got a picture of a milkshake up here. And it's a High Boy milkshake. They make some really good milkshakes. But here's my story about milkshake. This happened a month or two ago. It was still hot outside. And I was somewhere with my kids that had milkshakes. I bought my kids a milkshake. But I didn't buy myself one, partly out of like trying to like eat better, partly out of being a cheapskate, right? And I just decided like, yeah, you know, like I'll skip the milkshake tonight. And then I honestly can't remember the details, but I know there was another time where like I wanted to go get a milkshake and I just told myself, no, like that's, you're 39 years old. Like you don't need to stop what you're doing and go get a milkshake. So yeah, somebody said, yes, you do. So here's what happened to me. After that had been going on for a couple weeks, I hadn't even hardly really noticed it. But then a friend and I went to visit somebody that's in the hospital, and one of our friends here at Maywood. And on the way back, they wanted High Boys. So we went through the drive-thru. They ordered a milkshake. I even, in my head, thought, like, maybe I should get one too. And I thought, like, no, like, you're trying. Spend less money. Eat less junk food, right? So I ordered him one. He ordered a large, right? Sounded good. I go drop him off where he needs to go. He leaves my bag of stuff in the car. He takes his bag and he goes. And then I get back to the church, and this guy's situation, what he was doing, like there was no way to really go get him his food because we'd gotten our stuff swapped. He had left his milkshake and his stuff. And it was good. It was all good, right? You know, like that was my lunch. But here's the thing. I was sitting, this is the actual milkshake. And I bought him one the next week. So he eventually got one. But once I saw it and I realized there was no way to give it back, and it's a milkshake and it's a hot, it's like it was July or something. You know, it's like there's nothing to do but to drink this. Like there's really no other option. And what I realized in that moment is like I hadn't told anybody that I had been wanting a milkshake for 2 weeks, right? Like I don't think I'd told another soul that. But God knew that, right? And it's so petty, so stupid. And yet, like, it made me pause, right? About like, wow. Like, why would God care that much? If I had mentioned it to someone else, like, they would have just told me to stop wasting their time. I wasted all your guys' time with that story, right? Like, it's not a very good story, except when someone's so powerful and amazing as God is thoughtful with such a small thing. And to get the large even, right? Like not even the small, right? So, so yeah, it was good. So why do I tell you that? It's really easy. A lot has happened in my life since that milkshake and even the week of that milkshake, right? Some of it's really important, some of it's not important, and it would be really easy to just move on, right? But if you're anything like me, I mean, Renee is so sweet, but Renee and I have been meeting together only for like a couple months now, and Renee's already like, man, Jake is worried, right? Like Jake has a lot going through his head. I'm giving off that sort of vibe, right? So when I was working on this, the reason it's not much of a sermon is it's just like, this is all stuff that I just need to hear, right? So I'm gonna take you guys just on this little trip with me, right? So Ephesians 1 is where we're going to be. I love the book of Ephesians. If you ever want to know, like, what does Jake think a church should be, could be, Ephesians is what's really motivated me on that, and God's really talked to me a lot through it. But Ephesians says so much, it's so deep. But when I was reading this chapter 1, the thing that stuck out to me this time was a bunch of stuff I'm going to underline for you. The passage I'm going to read, it talks about predestination. It talks about God's will. It talks about all this big stuff that Jesus has done for us. I mean, there's like deep waters here. But I'm going to underline something that's a theme that's really easy to miss in these verses. And I bet in your own life, there's a bunch of stuff that's easy to miss that you could underline that has the same sort of theme, right? So it's Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're going to be. I'd love for you to turn there and just camp out because it's a great, great place to be. But we're going to be in verse 3 is where we're going to start. I'm going to lead us in a prayer before we read this though, okay? Jesus, I can't put your truth even into my own heart, much less into somebody else's heart. But I pray right now as we're reading your word and as we're focused on you, that you would come and plant into us that you love us. Help us to trust that you love us. It's in your name we pray, amen. So Ephesians 1, starting at verse 3, it's Paul writing here, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." We'll pause for a second. Watchman Nee, when he's writing about Ephesians, he's got this book, Sit, Walk, Stand. And the first thing he says about Ephesians is that before you do anything as a Christian, you just need to sit and soak up what Jesus has already done for you. That we don't start doing for Jesus, we start by receiving what Jesus has already done for us before you do anything else. And right here, like, Jesus has done a lot. Like, there's nothing you're gonna achieve that's more than what Jesus has already given you if you've accepted him. And I'm not saying there's nothing for us to do, but we don't do it to achieve something that we don't already have. We don't see all the blessings God wants to give us maybe right now in your life situation. But God, when he shows up in your life, one of the reasons is for what's underlined right there, and you see it all through the Bible. God shows up because God wants to bless Ron, right? Like, God shows up because he wants to bless Sherman and Chrissy and everybody else in that row and throughout the church, right? Like, God wants to put good things in Chris's life, right? Like, that's his posture towards you. He's not coming to you like maybe a police officer or somebody else has come to you, right? Where they like assume you're wrong, right? Like, he's not coming like that, right? Verse 4. "For God chose us in him before the creation of the whole world to be holy and blameless in his sight." This is saying a lot more, but this is maybe where Henry Nouwen's getting that thought from, of like, God didn't have to wait around for us to pick him. Before anything got started, before any mistake had been made by you, God already wanted you as a part of his family. And he didn't just want you as like a recipient of like, look at that guy who's such a mess. Aren't I so merciful? He actually wanted you to say like, I want to raise you out of the mess. I want to get you to the spot where you're holy and blameless, where there's nothing wrong with you. Going on. In love. Can you guys say that with me? In love. God predestined us for adoption to sonship. That's like a legal term there of this idea of like full rights of the family through Jesus Christ in accordance with his what? His pleasure and will. A lot of times when we think about God, and you think about how he's looking at you, do you think that about his love for you? Do you think even about his pleasure? God's been really gracious to me. That milkshake thing is not unusual. I could tell you a lot of milkshake type of stories. And I think part of it is I have a real hard time. Like a really hard time just remembering that God loves me, that he approves of me. Not in this like I've done everything perfect, but like that God's not mad at me. I don't know if anybody else is self-critical. Maybe you just think you're perfect and maybe you need somebody to knock you down a peg or two. I don't know. Maybe that's out there. For me, like I beat myself up a bunch. I don't feel good enough a bunch. And I am often surprised like when God answers my prayers or just does super sweet things like the milkshake. It's just surprising to me. And that's right here. If you really think about how does your tone when you're talking to God, and how's your tone when you're thinking about your life? Do you really trust like God's coming to you with love? That, yeah, if you're doing something against his commands, he might be mad in that moment about like, stop doing that, I want better things for you. But in general, his posture towards you is like pleasure. Like, I enjoy you. I enjoy time with you. I want you. Go on, keep reading here. "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us," talking about in Jesus, and the one that he loves. So God's not hanging over your head like, hey, remember that time that I took care of you? You owe me. He's like, I gave it to you. And even if you're going to run around and break it, like, that didn't stop me from giving it to you, right? Like, he's not like, oh, I'm going to give you this nice thing when you're totally ready and you've totally shown me that you're perfect and trustworthy, right? He's like, here it is. Like, I'm going to be generous right from the start. Next verse here. In Jesus, we have redemption through Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins. What is that talking about there? We talked last week about the Lord's Supper. Jesus died on a cross because it took that much to make up for everything we've done wrong. And you can feel pretty guilty, we're in a certain sort of way, right? And it's okay maybe to feel guilty, honest about that, but like we all are guilty, and that's why Jesus got nailed up on that tree, right? But another way to look at it, if you're beating yourself up over I'm such a terrible person, is like, are you so terrible that like your badness is worse than Jesus' blood? I mean, I can really feel bad about myself, but then I feel like I'm not that prideful, right? To think like my badness outweighs Jesus' goodness, right? And it's in accordance with what? With the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Everybody has different definitions of what rich is, but maybe you've been around somebody that's way more rich than you. And I can remember a time where I was in a conversation and somebody needed tens of thousands of dollars to do something. And this guy up from Iowa that was in the circle was like, yeah, that's no problem. Like the big problem is like, who's gonna run it? You know, like, and it was just like the money was no issue. And I was like, this is a different conversation than I normally run in, right? Because he was rich, right? And for him, like the money wasn't a problem, like trustworthy people was a problem. And as I've gotten older, I realized like, oh, like trustworthy people is hard, right? But maybe you haven't been around somebody that's rich with grace. They can just drop a huge bag of grace into a circle and be like, that's not the problem, right? The problem isn't that we can't forgive all that happened and move forward. Right? And you're just like, whoa, that's a whole different way to look at it when that's not the problem. Right? When we just need the right people to move forward, we don't have to worry about paying for it. Go on to this next slide here. With all wisdom and understanding, God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. There's a lot we could get into there. The big thing I want to tell you is like, God knows what he's up to, and he's happy to take you baby step by baby step into understanding his plan for you. Like, he enjoys the journey, right? Like, he doesn't need any little bumper stickers or whatever. Like, he's like a dad with a little kid, right? Like, he is excited to be on this with you and to show you piece by piece his plan for you. We'll go to verse 10. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. I could talk to you for days about like bringing everything into unity with Jesus. I love this idea, and the church's role comes up later at the end of this chapter too. But the short of it right now is that like whatever goals you have in life, like they're a lot smaller than God's goals. And God wants you to be involved, right? Like that's basically what he's saying here. He's like, we're gonna bring everything into unity with Jesus. That is gonna be way better than whatever anybody else's plans are, right? And he wants us to be a part of it. Verse 11, in him we were also chosen. I could take you to a spot at Franklin Smith Elementary School, the little kickball stadium. I could be like, here's the spot where I would stand when almost everybody else got picked for kickball, right? Like, I know what it feels like to be like, nobody wants you, right? Like, I don't know what they do to elementary school kids today. Sometimes they avoid stuff like this, maybe. I don't know. But in the 90s, people were fine with being like, yep, nobody wants you. Like, that was your recess. Was that fun? Like, fight that out, you know? Like, God, if you felt that way, like nobody wants me, God chooses you. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of his will. Pause for a second. It would be a terrible thing to be in a marriage and think like, I bet this other person wishes they could have worked it out to be with someone else, right? Like that's this like horrible thought, right? Like we all want to be in a marriage or with or even a friendship or whatever. We think like this person wants us, right? Like they wouldn't pick somebody else if they could. God could have done anything, like in a way that we don't understand. He literally has every option that's possible. And he's chosen you. Like, there's no greater, like, I picked you, right? Verse 12. In order that we, who were the first to put our hopes in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. I don't even begin to understand it, right? Like, how could anything that God does with me ever result in praise for God? Like, couldn't God have done something cooler without me, right? Like, if you put me on the field with the Chiefs, like, even if 10 of them can get the play done, like, I didn't add anything to the play, right? Like, I don't have any hope to add anything to the play. Somehow God wants us involved, right? And he's not ashamed of us. Verse 13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. We are with Jesus. He's not ashamed of us. Verse 13 and into 14. When you believed, you were marked in Jesus with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance into the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. I'm going to pause for a second here. If you believe in Jesus, he has guaranteed you his Spirit. He didn't just say, like, I'm going to send one of the B-team angels to follow you around and make sure you don't get killed or something, right? His very self. Given to you now. It's not about waiting till after you die or something. Like, and God's Spirit is in us to say, hey, for sure, like everything else is coming that I'm promising you. Like, this is what I'm going to give you. We could unpack that for a long time, right? But we've got it as Christians. I think we've got one more verse here, right? Or no, we're going to, sorry, I got to look. Nope. Sorry, no more verses. We're cutting you off. It's good after that, but we're cutting you off there. I got one more story for you. We're going to skip the bike story. I have another great story there. We're going to skip it and go to cheese dip picture. That's how we're going to wrap things up. You guys are hungry for lunch, maybe? So I like chips and salsa. With chips and salsa, the flavor of the chips, the texture of the chips matter. With chips and cheese dip, like, the chips just exist as a transport for the cheese dip, right? Like, that's their purpose. They could be good. As long as they're not terrible, it doesn't really matter. We have a lot of stuff in life. It could be good. It could be bad. It's like the chips. We're going to hit this really fast, right? My little story about my bike, I had a story where that bike was a blessing and a love, where God showed me a lot of love, just like the milkshake. But here recently, like, I haven't been able to be on the bike, and it's been really sad for me. But here's the thing I want to tell you about the cheese dip. Is if you put a plate of just tortilla chips in front of me and that was it, I would eat the tortilla chips, right? The cheese dip is like God's love in our life. I know this is silly, but we're just gonna have to get there. I'm not gonna nuance it. So you're gonna have experiences this week, right? And those experiences might be good, they might be bad. Like, you get to choose if you're going to do what we just did with those underlined things. Like, you're going to take the chip and dip it into God's love and say, like, I receive God's love. I receive this chip as just a transport for God's love to me. Whatever experiences I have this week, like, it's a way to get into touch with the God who loves me. Whether it's a milkshake that I really wanted, or whether it's like, man, I used to love doing that thing and I can't do it anymore. And I'm suffering. Whether it's suffering or blessing, it can transport God's love to us. And so I want to pray a blessing over you to close us out. If you'll bow your heads, I'm going to pray over you. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand above in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed Jesus to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of Jesus who fills everything in every way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.